What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Man, meet your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Next Gen Stats Guru, Graham Barfield.
Happy July, fellas.
Dude, where did the first, 6 months of this year go?
Yeah.
We're, more than halfway to Christmas.
Wow.
It's insane.
That is something.
It goes fast every year. Every year, just faster and faster and faster.
I mean, it's funny because, since I've been working here for a number of years, I talk to people, I tell them what I do, and they always say, "So what do you do in the off season?" And I just laugh. What is this off season you talk about?
Right. There's still stuff to do.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So like I said, NFL summer is 6 weeks long. It's from June 1st to about July 15th. So we got a couple weeks left because then training camp opens. And NFL summer is over.
And that's it, man. I'm trying to get all my social events hey, I got to play golf with these people before, we get rolling. Got to hang out with these people. Got to see these people, because once we get to the end of this month, it's all over for the social life.
What Labor Day is to most of America, July 4th is to to the NFL media.
Yep. I it's so funny when I explain that to my friends too. It's just I'm on summer now. It's just dude, it's barely summer. It's for me, I have to go back to work.
It's pretty much over.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's pretty much over. Mm-hmm. So I got plenty to talk about. We'll do another round of hype train or smoke screen. There's some stories that hit the news recently. We'll talk to Joe Pisapia, who is the author of the Fantasy Black Book, friend of the program as well, get his thoughts on some of the issues in fantasy football right now. We'll have another fantasy draft of things just in time for the big holiday, which, by the way, is why we are coming to you a little bit earlier this week. In fact, this is a good time to remind you, we will be off next week. They will be doing some renovations here in the studio, so we felt like between that and the fact that training camp's about to start, felt like that was a good time for us to kind of go dark for a week.
Wait, so you don't want to come in here with a hard hat?
No, not really.
Okay.
Banging away. I mean, I feel like if I show up here, they may hand me a hammer or a wrench and tell me to do something.
Yeah, so there's a dude who sits outside of our door sort of ominously, and
he's
got a hard hat on. I don't know what he's doing here.
He was watching YouTube when I showed up here earlier.
Is that right?
I don't know what the heck. Watching cat videos or something like that. I have no idea what's going on out there. So anyway, that's plenty to talk about, but before we get started, we will go behind the glass, as always, to talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, the worst thing to ever happen to me this weekend was not the Kevin Durant not signing with my Knicks. It actually was me. Actually, we talk about weather so much in this podcast the last few weeks. It's been gloomy. It was a really nice Saturday, so what did
the
I do?
The sun's been out.
Go to the beach.
Yeah, you got a little red tinge.
Did not put on any suntan lotion, and now I'm paying the price of being red from the waist up, and my skin's bubbling, so this is really good.
Nice.
Look like a freak.
Sounds
show.
Like fun, pal.
Yeah, this is good. Good weekend.
Ooh. Man. In other non-fantasy news, TweetDeck is back. TweetDeck was down for an hour, and my life was miserable as I was scrolling through Twitter. But TweetDeck is back, y'all, so I can do this show without having an aneurysm. So it's going to be great. There you go. So now that that's back, let's do some news.
Through the news.
The Steelers have been an interesting fount of fantasy conundrums this offseason. We talked plenty of times about whether or not they would be a running back rotation in the Steelers' backfield, that maybe Jalen Samuels would start to see some more work. But James Conner has kind of thrown some cold water on that, saying his role is going to stay the same. So I guess, Fabs, we can stand down on this, moving Jalen Samuels up your...
Yeah, man. I never really bought into it because, Tomlin has almost always wanted to have that featured back. Even when his top back has gone down, someone has moved in and been a featured back. D'Angelo Williams, Samuel last season. So I never really bought into it, and I don't think the fantasy industry is buying into it. We're in the middle or towards the end of our 12-team PPR mock draft, and Connor was the last pick in the first round, I believe. So I don't know that he's going to go in the first round in most drafts, but he is not going to be falling out of the top 15 picks for me.
Yeah, he's usually goes in there. If he doesn't go in the first, he usually goes in the early second
round. Top of the second.
I do think... I do think that there has been some of the speculation. It does warrant a little bit of concern. Their GM, Kevin Colbert, came out after the draft and basically said, we want to try and limit some of the touches on Connor, but I'm still with you. Even if they take away just a few touches a game, he's still going to, this offense should be good enough.
It's probably good for him.
Yeah, it should be good enough. This offense should be good enough to elevate him to RB1 numbers still. Yeah,
and let's not forget, no Antonio Brown, you know, Le'Veon Bell obviously is gone. This offense is going to be leaning maybe on him as a runner and a pass catcher even more than it did last season. We'll see.
Speaking of pass catchers, Dante Moncrief has been a standout at Steelers OTAs. And this sort of echoes a lot of reports we've been hearing over the last few weeks about Dante Moncrief really stepping in there and starting to perform well in practices and workouts. I know, Graham, I think at the start of the offseason when Antonio Brown left, the knee-jerk reaction was, hey, this is James Washington. He's going to take the next step up or whatever. Maybe it's about time we rethink that, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I think right now for fantasy, like Vance, James Washington, and Creef are all too cheap because the Steelers have the fifth most targets available. I know so many people have bought into the Dante Moncrief hype train and gotten burned in the past. but I mean, at this point, he's a 12th, 13th, 14th round pick, and the Steelers have elevated receivers every single year, and they have a ton of targets available. I definitely think there's a path where all three, Washington, McDonald, and Moncrief can become fantasy viable. But I do wonder if they just kind of spread the targets evenly amongst those three, that they're all just kind of middling fantasy assets at this point. I'm not sure if any one of them is just going to break out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we as an industry, we almost always side with the younger upside pick, which is smart. We're doing that, I think, with Tampa Bay, even though you're hearing rumors now that Peyton Barber's a better option to get more touches than Ronald Jones. But we like Ronald Jones because he's coming off of a rookie season that was disappointing, but he's young. He still has a higher ceiling. And I think we're doing that. I mean, I've been in drafts where James Washington has gone in the seventh round and Moncrief is going last three. But with that being said, as someone who liked Moncrief a few years back when he was with the Colts, this is not a durable player. And this is also a player who, at least with the Colts, he was highly touchdown dependent. If he wasn't getting in the end zone, he wasn't really helping your fantasy team. So I still would prefer James Washington over Moncrief. But if you do want to bump Moncrief up a little bit, certainly in best balls, he'll be a popular pick. But and I also don't know that it's going to be one guy who comes in and eats up all those targets, because you've got Deontay Johnson there as well. So you've got Jalen Samuels out of the backfield, Vance McDonald, who we just mentioned. So there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think mentioning Vance McDonald is worthwhile too, because we've talked about tight ends. I don't know that he's gotten enough attention. I think we're starting to mention him a little bit more, but I think there's a big opportunity for Vance McDonald there in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Staying in the division, Gio Bernard and the Bengals reportedly are buying in with new head coach Zach Taylor and his offensive scheme. Fabs, I kind of want to buy in, but aside from the fact that Zach Taylor stood next to Sean McVay for more than 15 minutes, I don't really know much about him.
Yeah, we don't know much about him, honestly. Would he actually qualify as being part of the Sean McVay sort of coaching tree? I mean, right? This is a coach who has gained his credibility through being near what most people in the league consider to be the elite young offensive mind among coaches. But to me, this is the Joe Mixon show. Now he's going in the first round. I think he's well worth the first round pick. But I think the big question mark is the passing game, right? Andy Dalton, is AJ Green going to come back and be healthy? He's coming off of the toe. He's actually fought, he's like a third rounder at this point. He's almost like in that Leonard Fournette area.
He sometimes goes in the fourth.
If he slides to the fourth, Fournette and Green, people are talking about them. You're going to get these guys in the third round, and those could actually be really good bargains for your fantasy team, because for such a long time, AJ Green's been locked and loaded as number one wide receiver. Last year, a little bit of bloom came off the rose because of what happened with his toe, but he's still not an old player, and Andy Dalton is still a guy who he's got a great rapport with. With that being said, this is one of those offenses that we're going to have to really watch in training camp in the preseason to see exactly what Taylor wants to do, maybe get a little bit of a glimpse into the future with this offense. Because outside of Mixon, outside of Green, Tyler Boyd was very good last season, but then when Green went down, his stats started to sink a little bit. You've got Eifert there as well, but there's not a whole ton of really great fantasy options on this roster right now.
I've been saying for years that AJ Green has been an innocent bystander in the Andy Dalton drive-by slander.
You know? The thing that's held the Bengals back for so long is they've just refused to move on from Dalton. And yeah. I think they went in for one final year of kind of maybe trying to make it perfect for him. And Jonah Williams, unfortunately, just got hurt there.
That one hurts too.
He's going to play left tackle. Now they're going to have to move Cordy Glenn back to right tackle. Hopefully the Bengals can get this offensive line figured out this year.
But, you know, the Bengals are a team that held on to Marvin Lewis maybe a few years too long.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. You know, it's funny, too, because, like, you know, on the one hand, you look at the Steelers, right? And their patience has always been kind of a model of stability there. Like, you know, they've had, what, just three coaches, I think, in their whole history or something like that. You know, they went through Chuck Knoll and then Bill Cowher and now Mike Tomlin, and that's kind of been part of their success. The Bengals, on the other hand, held on to Marvin Lewis, and everybody's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, but those other coaches were winning. And Marvin Lewis is like,
he's just, you know, hanging on at mediocre for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Houston, Lamar Miller says he wants to improve as a pass catcher.
Shouldn't you have wanted to do this like a long time ago?
You think so, right? I mean, Graham, does this do anything for you? Does this make you, you know, look feel more excited about Lamar Miller or anything?
No. I mean, no. The thing with Lamar Miller is he's been an empty calorie fantasy back for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll finish as, you know, the RB14 or RB15 on his 250 touches, but the path that you got there won't be very sexy. The problem with the Texans, though, is just their offensive line, once again, they've kind of enlisted a few improvements, but they just have not invested enough to make me feel totally, totally comfortable. And Miller has ran behind just some god-awful offensive line.
He actually, you remember last season, there was a stretch where Miller was putting up some numbers, but his issue's always been inconsistency. The Texans didn't really do anything in the offseason to improve at running back. So Miller's still going to carry the mail, but I mean, I think Deonta Foreman is becoming a very worthwhile middle to late round pick. It looks like he's going to be good to go. I mean, he's been well over a year removed from that Achilles. Mm-hmm. He played a little bit at the end of last season, but Alfred Blue is in Jacksonville now, and Foreman is someone that I feel like is a nice, worthwhile middle to late round pickup, because Lamar Miller, he doesn't excite any of us in the fantasy football industry, and Foreman was a guy that a lot of people were talking about before he went down with that Achilles.
I mean, he's sort of fantasy oatmeal, right? Like, it's
right. He's granola.
It's fine. Right. I mean, it's fine. Like, you're not necessarily excited about it, but, you know, it's good enough. It'll get the job done. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Speaking of running backs that don't really excite people, TJ Yeldon saying that the Bills running backs will have a heated competition. Now, there has been some rumblings that LeSean McCoy, of all of them, might end up the odd man out. I mean, this is a kind of a hodgepodge of a running back room with, you know, Shady is there, TJ Yeldon is there, Frank Gore is there, Devin Singleton got drafted, Singletary got drafted there. And, you know, the talk fabs that maybe it's Shady that is kind of the guy who's on the bubble. I don't even know what to make of it.
Shady doesn't know, because his recent quote was that he's going to sort of be the same player in the same role. I seriously doubt that. I mean, because, like, they brought in three new dudes. I mean, like, no, you're not going to have the same role. You're not the same player. You were a great fantasy player for several years. But, I mean, at this point, you know, a guy who hit 30, and we all know that a lot of times that's a downfall for running backs. And, you know, we're hearing reports that Gore and Singletary and McCoy are all seeing some first down reps during OTAs. So this is going to be a committee situation, and it's going to probably be one that you're going to want to avoid in redrafts.
TJ Yeldon's been dealing with a groin injury this offseason, so they gave Gore and Singletary the first team reps with McCoy at OTAs. I have no idea how this backfield's going to play out this year. I literally have no idea.
And what's odd, too, is, like, so I like Josh Allen as a late round flyer, especially after what he did last season with his legs. He's got a cannon, and they bring in a guy like John Brown who's going to be able to stretch defenses. I mean, they don't have like that big number one sexy wide receiver. Of course, remember there was rumors that Antonio Brown may have ended up in Buffalo.
He was a Bill for like 7 minutes.
That didn't happen, right? But they added some pieces around Josh Allen, who maybe is the guy who benefits the most from a fantasy perspective based on what the Bills did in the offseason, because there's crowds in the running back situation. There's a crowd at wide receiver, tight end. But maybe Josh Allen is someone that, and I don't see him being picked in some drafts. Maybe that's a mistake. I mean, now we're in drafts where, like, you know, I've seen drafts where Kirk Cousins isn't getting picked. So, I mean, like, it is what it is because quarterback is so deep. But Josh Allen's a guy that I really think could end up being a breakout candidate and someone that we're underrating. And maybe we shouldn't do that, because if you look at the numbers he put up in the second half of last season, they were damn good.
Yeah, that's going to be certainly one to watch. But the Bills, I think we're all sort of agreed that their running backs just
Backfield and the wide receivers are like, you know, you don't want anything to do with them. But that quarterback could be a winner for you.
So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Time for another edition of Hype Train or Smoke Screen. We did this a couple weeks back. I pulled some headlines, and we all discussed whether or not we're buying into them. So one of the ones on this list, and I'll just move it up because we sort of talked about it. LeSean McCoy says Josh Allen looks more confident. And, you know, Fabs, you talked about the way he finished the season last year, the fact that he, for all intents and purposes, was Buffalo's best running back last year.
Yeah.
I mean, are we, I'm guessing you're buying in now. You're starting to kind of, and look, he's not going to, he probably won't get drafted in a lot of 10 team leagues or anything like that, but it sounds like you're starting to buy in at least a little bit on him.
You got to look at what he did at the end of last season, and he's got better weapons around him now. Like, I have him ranked at 21st and at the quarterback position, and it's not even, it's not a disrespect, because like, it's so, the position is so ridiculously deep that a guy like Josh Allen, a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, Garoppolo is a guy that I've seen in leagues not get drafted, and everyone was all about him last preseason. The position is just so ridiculously deep that having a guy like Allen at 21, it's not a disrespect. It is, hey, this is a player that if you wait on drafting a quarterback, which most of us are, especially if you're in industry leagues, he's a guy that you can get as a QB2 and who could potentially, I'm not saying he's going to be a league winner, but he could end up being a pretty valuable asset for your fantasy team. We just talk about so much like Kyler Murray, you know, the new players coming into the league, Lamar Jackson, we all love Jameis Winston, at least some of us do because of Bruce Arians in there. But maybe we're not talking about Josh Allen enough.
I like this Bills team. I think I've said it on the show before. I think they're a little bit underrated, definitely in that division, especially after the Patriots. Everything else is just so wide open. But for fantasy, we just don't know where to invest, right? Outside of Josh Allen, the receivers are, you know, kind of a mixed bag, and their running backs, like we just said, are just a disaster to try and figure out this year. So Josh Allen really is the only logical choice for fantasy if you really feel comfortable drafting any Bills.
I have taken some late round shots at John Brown.
Yeah, me too. The thing that scares me though, man, is like they have Foster there. They brought in Cole Beasley. He's going to hoover some targets. It's just, I don't know if there's going to be enough volume to support him every single week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that either. I go back to last year when Joe Flacco was still playing in Baltimore. John Brown put up some decent numbers and he was healthy.
Oh, he was awesome.
Right. He was healthy. Yeah. He looked good. Him and Flacco seemed to have a connection. It was when Lamar Jackson took over that they just weren't a fit together. Yeah. And so now I'm just wondering if Josh Allen is more Joe Flacco-ish than he is Lamar Jackson, and whether or not that's going to be good for John Brown potentially. So that's sort of my thought there. Kyler Murray says Card's chemistry is, quote, going to take time. And so it's funny because, you know, the hype train on Kyler Murray from the moment he was drafted, I mean, that thing left the station the moment the name Kyler Murray came off of Roger Goodell's lips in Nashville. Is this real, or is this Kyler Murray just trying to tamp down expectations a little bit?
I think it's both. I think the Cardinals and maybe Murray himself probably feel the pressure of like, okay, we have the number one quarterback that we just took overall. I mean, there was literally months of anticipation of them doing the exact thing that they did. And now they've got all these new receivers and new weapons to play with. This will definitely take some time. And I am so, so interested to see what Cliff and Kyler and all of these receivers can pull off in year one. But I definitely think that this could take some time to get off the ground. But at the same time, I mean, hopefully Cliff and Kyler and this offense, they kind of institute some of these air raid principles quickly. Maybe they do take some defenses by surprise early on, but they're two of their three main receivers are going to be rookies. Christian Kirk's coming off a receiver and he's second year receiver coming off an injury in his rookie year. I don't know if the Cardinals necessarily have like the cohesiveness kind of aspect all here for going into the season.
Yeah, this is another offense that I've just been surprised that, you know, for as much as everyone loves Kyler Murray, I don't feel like the requisite bounce has come for guys like Christian Kirk. I've been taking, for a while I was kind of taking late dart throws at Andy Isabella. I've started taking even just like very end of draft last pick shots at Keyshawn Johnson.
Over Hakeem Butler?
Over Hakeem Butler, wow. Yeah. Because you know what, I know Butler is the guy who potentially is the red zone target. I think, especially long term, Johnson is one of those guys who doesn't necessarily shine at any one thing, but I think he's really good at a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I think he's just, I think he's a good route runner. I think he's got good hands. I mean, he was that guy that at the combine didn't blow anybody away with his measurables, but when you saw him run the drills, he was just kind of a guy who turned some heads a little
bit. I think people like me kind of got a little too invested in Butler's measurables, and now that there's reports coming out of camp that all the receiver coaches are saying he's kind of raw.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll play this year. I really don't know if Hakeem Butler is going to play too much this year because they've got three guys, and as Isabella, Fitz, yep, and Kirk, that technically kind of all play the same position, but I'm imagining that they're going to move these guys around.
When I started to hear the Dorial Green Beckham comparisons, I quickly jumped off of the Hakeem Butler bandwagon. Yeah. There's a lot of mouths to feed there. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of upside there, but there's a lot of mouths to feed. Let's not forget Larry Fitzgerald. That's a player that now in the industry is certainly starting to move up in drafts. I'm noticing him being picked almost exclusively ahead of Christian Kirk in most of the mocks that I've been in.
That's insane to me. That's insane.
I get it. But, like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, I understand last season wasn't his best. I believe he was still a top 25 fantasy wideout in PPR. He had some big games a season ago. But he could end up being that safety valve for Kyler Murray in that offense. So, right now, among Cardinals fantasy players, it's David Johnson, it's Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, and then, people are grabbing and Kyler Murray.
Right. So, yeah, that's they are going to be one of the more intriguing offensive stories, fantasy stories, just football stories of the year. That's going
to
be one to
I can't wait to watch that. And I've said it on previous podcasts. There's so many offenses I'm so looking forward to watching this year. Arizona's one of them. Cincinnati's one of them. And as a Cowboys fan, Dallas, because, Kellen Moore, I want to see what happens with this.
Arizona, I'm interested to watch. I'm curious, just really kind of in on it. Cincinnati, I'm sort of watching from across the street with binoculars.
I want to be in on the Bengals. I definitely want to be in.
Yeah, so we'll see. Down in Baltimore, Robert Griffin III says the Ravens' new offense will, quote, shock some people. This comes after stories this offseason of Lamar Jackson working on his throwing mechanics and being apparently really hard on himself when he hasn't performed up to his standard in practice. I don't know. I mean, how are you feeling about this, Grant?
I saw a picture of Lamar on Instagram. He looks like he's put on some weight in his upper body. He was super skinny in his upper body coming out of Louisville, so maybe he's trying to bulk up to take an NFL pounding. Obviously, he took some monster hits when he had starts last year. I don't think they're going to shock anybody, though. They're going to come out from the hell out of the ball.
They were running it like 65% of the time last season. What, are they going to drop down to 62 now? I mean, like, where's the shock? You know what this offense is. Look at what they've built. This is going to be a run-based offense with Mark Ingram behind him. You got a lot of people are high on Justice Hill as well. And
it's a fun backfield.
It is.
It's a fun backfield.
And at wide receiver, I mean, Marquise Brown probably be the only guy to get drafted in fantasy leagues. Because, they're not going to throw the ball that much. But I do really like Lamar Jackson. When you can draft a quarterback who's, for all intents and purposes, a running back, who carried the ball around 17 times a game last season, who, if you project his numbers just rushing over a full year, he's given you over 1,000 rushing yards. I mean, that that's enough to excite me. And he's a guy that I'm going after as a QB2 as much as I can possibly get him, just because over the years we've all learned no matter how poorly a guy throws the ball, and I don't think Lamar Jackson throws the ball that poorly like Tim Tebow, but when you can run the ball as a quarterback, it's going to make you valuable. And he is a guy who showed last season how valuable he can be, and he was inexperienced, and now he's got some experience under his belt.
I'm scrolling through the Ravens wide receivers, and I am overcome with a heap and helping of.
I know it's like what, they got like Jordan Lashley, they've got Willie Snead, they've got Marquise Brown,
Joe Horn Jr. Is on the roster.
If he scores a touchdown, you think he'll pull out
a cell phone?
Pull out a cell phone.
That would be epic.
That would be so great if that happened. That'd be amazing. I also do. Maybe this will be a segment that we do this year on the pod. Like spin the wheel of Ravens tight ends and just see.
I like Mark Andrews though. I think he could be a nice deep sleeper. I really do.
Hayden Hurst says he's healthy though, and he's ready to go this year.
I get it. Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm with you. But I just feel like trying to project a Ravens tight end.
Oh, no, no doubt.
It's just a fool.
I mean, at least Max Williams is no longer in the mix, so that whittled it down a little bit.
Right. There's, you know, still Nick Boyle's there. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. So, Tom Brady, who I don't know if he is great at social media or the person he's hired to run his social media is great at social media. He posted a video where he is throwing a football 61 miles per hour. That's pretty good. You know, obviously it's not, you can't compare it to a baseball pitcher or anything like that, but 61 miles per hour for a football is pretty good. Fabs, because Brady's one of those guys who, I mean, he's not getting drafted in a lot of leagues either.
Isn't that insane?
I mean, this is kind of,
it's insane.
It's partially because the quarterback position is deep. It's partially because, you know, Tom Brady is, and people are starting to kind of get concerned about when the cliff is coming. Yep. Does 61 miles per hour make you change your opinion at all about him?
He's a QB2. I mean, he's in my top 20 quarterbacks. Obviously, he's going to be in most people's top 20 quarterbacks. But, you know, I had our research team take a look and see what his numbers were with and without Rob Gronkowski. Almost a 3 full fantasy points per game less when Gronkowski wasn't there. And we don't know what's up with Josh Gordon. We all love N'Keal Harry because of the upside. We remember the catch against USC. We look at the targets available. The Patriots have a whole lot of them. Sorry. But, I mean, you know, you're bringing in Demaryius Thomas, who may or not even make the team. Maurice Harris, Ben Watson, who's suspended. Matt Lacoste. Gronkowski's gone. We don't know what's going on with Josh Gordon. Chris Hogan's gone. Cordell Patterson gone. It's going to be a lot of new faces in that passing game, and I do believe the Patriots. Listen, Brady wasn't even a top 10 quarterback last season.
Right.
I mean, he was a guy who people were in the second half of the season, they had him on their bench, and they didn't think twice about it because he just wasn't the same quarterback statistically. And I mean, this dude's what, 42? Going to be 43?
He'll be 42, I believe, in August.
Yeah. I mean. The fact that he's been this great for this long, I mean, he's probably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But clearly the Super Bowl rings would probably attest to that. But from a fantasy standpoint, you're starting to see, we started to see it last season, you know, that he's just not the same guy who's going to give you big numbers week in and week out.
Well, and I kept saying that, you know, last year, yes, he made plays, obviously, when he had to, and you know, credit him for helping the Patriots win a Super Bowl. It was an offense that ran primarily through Sony Michel and James White. I mean, they were a very run-heavy team last year, and they turned to Brady when they needed to, but he wasn't the guy that they were necessarily counting on to control and win games for them offensively last year.
For fantasy, we need our quarterbacks, if they're projected to be on a run-heavy team or a team that runs just a very small amount of plays, we need that quarterback to be able to run. Mm-hmm. Brady's never been that guy.
And you look at his numbers. I mean, you know, second half of the season, he gave you 26, which was in week 17 and didn't help you. He gave you 26 in week 14, and that was it. I mean, that was it. He gave you a 5 against Buffalo, 13 against Pittsburgh, 14 against the Vikings. Like, we can't win fantasy leagues with those kind of numbers.
And that was with Gronk on the field. Now, granted, Gronk played at far less than 100% last season. Mm-hmm. But even with Gronk on the field, I don't think Brady even has remotely close enough upside to warrant a fantasy start every week.
And they bring in Damian Harris, who, you know, is another part of that backfield that now has, I don't know if Rex Burkhead is going to be drafted in a lot of leagues. I'm sure he will be drafted in some, but I mean, You've got James White. You've got Sonny Michel, as you mentioned. And then Damian Harris could fit in there as well. So,
yeah, so that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Last one before we'll get our guest Joe Pisapia in here. Peyton Barber, according to Greg Allman of Tampa Bay Times. Allman believes Peyton Barber will finish with more yards than Ronald Jones. Now,
I was waiting for you to say Greg Allman.
Like the Allman Brothers band?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I know that, obviously we've talked about how Ronald Jones last year was a huge bust. Could barely get on the field.
1.9 yards per carry.
Could barely get on the field. And this is one, Graham, I think, he was a second round pick. So we're hoping that maybe because of that, he kind of comes around this year. And also, I know that for fantasy, we like to pick younger guys with higher ceilings. I've seen Ronald Jones come off the board shockingly early. I mean, like fifth, sixth round in some
what?
I've seen it too.
Is this like
I've
an all it. USC historical
No, not
draft?
Even. Like, I just, like, I've been shocked where I was like, I'm like in double digit rounds thinking, oh, maybe I'll take a shot at Ronald Jones, and looking and seeing that he has been long gone since.
Oh my
then.
God. That is nuts.
Yeah. For now, we're going into 2 years here. Ronald Jones has been overpriced in fantasy for 2 years running, and he has what, 25, 30 touches to his name on the field? I mean, all of them in preseason. I want no part. But if he does fall into that like ninth, 10th round range, let's say you are in a sharper league where, nobody's drafting Ronald Jones in the sixth round. I do think it's fine to take a shot there because the ninth, 10th round is kind of a dead zone for running backs and receivers alike.
Would you draft Rojo or Barber?
Barber, easily. Barber. But I mean, at the same time, this is, I've said before, and I hope this comes to light, but I just want the Bucs to go super pass heavy and all of these receivers go off.
I do too, man.
We don't have to worry about these receivers.
I do too. Dude, I'm all in on Chris Godwin.
I mean,
OJ Howard, love him.
The hope had been
the saving grace for Ronald Jones is like the Bucs need a pass catching running back, but right. Ronald Jones was not a good pass catcher in college.
He was not a great pass catcher. It was also something they didn't really ask a lot of him. Maybe it's because he wasn't a great pass catcher. You'd have to kind of ask some of the coaches about that. And we've talked about this before, that because the Bucs did nothing at the running back position this offseason, that the
that
thought
was a
was,
shock too.
It was a shock, but that led to the belief that, okay, well, maybe this means that Ronald Jones is going to get some more opportunity. Now, we'll see when it's all said and done, because the thing about it is we know what Peyton Barber is. I mean, he's fine in some weeks. But I just think that people are reaching and hoping for the upside of a younger player maybe finally figuring it out in year two. Yeah. That's all I can think.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the allure, and that's definitely the premise behind drafting Rojo. But, man, I've seen it too. People would leap into the sixth, seventh round to take him.
That's insane.
That's crazy. I mean, like, literally, there have been multiple drafts where I'm going to, like, try to find him in the double-digit rounds, and he's not there. And I'm like, what did I miss? Like,
yeah, when did this happen? That's shocking to me.
So, yeah. So, hey, before we get out to the phones, I want to let you know, guys, they're terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I mean, it's sort of how, like, I strained my Achilles once playing basketball, and instead of actually going to the doctor, I just sat with ice on it for weeks on end, and now it's sort of weird, and whatever. But anyway, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort of your home and handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Just go to GetRoman.com/live and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they'll prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/live to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/live for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/live. Joining us now on the phone, friend of the program, Joe Pisapia. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Pisapia 17. That's Pisapia. He is the author of the Fantasy Black Book, which is a great publication. Some of the contributors include friend of the program, Jake Seeley. He's also the host of the Fantasy Black Book Facebook Pod, which you can find over at Fantrax. And I know our pal Michael Florio does some stuff for Fantrax as well. But glad to have him on the show. Friend of the program, had him on last summer. Joe, how you doing?
It's always good to chat with you. I missed you, Marcus. I mean, it's been way too long. That's what it's been.
It has absolutely been a while. You know, just kind of catching up with some of your stuff there on Twitter. The one thing I want to ask, because I've been asking this of all our guests, the Todd Gurley conundrum, right? I mean, this is a guy who last year was kind of a consensus number one overall. And I've been saying he is Tom Petty right now. He is free falling. Where do you sit on Todd Gurley as we talk here on July 1st?
Well, at the risk of making another Tom Petty bad dad joke, I feel like I have to live like a refugee when it comes to Todd Gurley. It's really tough. But here's the way I'm approaching it right now, because obviously if he's still getting the goal line touches, that's huge for his fantasy value. If you're in a situation with Todd Gurley, I would say where you're in a 10-team league, and there's a lot of those casual 10-team friends and family leagues that people are still really passionate about and really serious, I think you can take that risk, because it's much easier, especially in a full-point PPR, to recover if Todd Gurley becomes a disaster. If everything, the wheels come down and everything goes to crap, at least you're in a situation where the replacement value is a little easier. When you start to get in the 12 and 14-team leagues, then it becomes something you really have to consider. Obviously, the later he falls, the more appealing it is, because it's easier to mitigate the risk of Todd Gurley. But I was just in the FSGA draft, and I was in a 14-team league. I had the 12th pick overall. I passed on him, and I thought he would make it to me right around the corner on the wheel, and he actually didn't. He went at 14 at 2-1. So I probably would have taken the chance there. But in a 14-team league, if Todd Gurley goes awry, that's really tough to come back to. So I think it's all about mitigating risk. I'm not out on Todd Gurley this year, but I'm going to be very specific on where I take that risk. And again, how much prize money you're playing for, all these little tiny factors that all enter into the equation. I think you have to weigh that. I don't think there's one answer like, nope, avoid Todd Gurley, because I don't think that's a good answer either.
What's prize money? What is that?
We can only play for jelly beans over here, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. That's it.
You know, this every US kind of jelly bean. All the Harry Potter jelly beans, every jelly bean you could possibly imagine.
You know, you mentioned your mock draft with the at FSGA, and I was looking at that. You went David Montgomery and then followed up with Tariq Cohen, right? Explain yourself. David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, back-to-back picks. Man, explain yourself there.
I feel like I just got called to the principal's office. This is going to be fun. I like this. Here's me explaining myself with that. I'm looking for upside. I'm looking for playmakers in a 14-team league. And again, that one's actually one we play out, that FSGA draft. And the running backs, 9 of the first 11 picks were running backs. It just flew off the board. And what I do in the Fantasy Black Book is relative position value. And the concept is, you know, most people are going to have an RB1, but once you're behind the fantasy league average in RB1, you're chasing something in the negative. And fantasy sports is very simple. It's about me outperforming you from as many spots on my roster as I can. So that's why I doubled up with wide receivers and then went with the two rookie running backs, Jacobs and Montgomery. I'm very confident that both those guys are going to be integral pieces of their offenses. I have nothing but faith in Matt Nagy as a head coach and as an offensive mind. And I think just like the Patriots last year with Sony Michel and James White, they could do the same thing. Tariq Cohen, I think, can certainly have that upside. I don't think less touches for Tariq Cohen necessarily mean you're going to kill his fantasy value. If anything, having Montgomery there and effective might even be even better for him, not to mention the fact that if you size him down a little bit, maybe you get a better use out of him towards the latter part of the season. So as my flex for RB, I feel pretty good about it. And if things should go wrong for Montgomery, then maybe Tariq Cohen does get more looks in that offense, and hopefully I'll figure it out. But looking at it, I just don't see the Bears taking Montgomery. All the rumors and all the out-of-camp news so far have been very positive on him. I think he's going to be the real deal. And, you know, running back's a young position, boys. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting old.
Yeah, right. Hey, Joe, it's Fabs here. So, you know, we've been just, you know, talking away for months and months and months because it's the offseason. And, you know, this is what we do. But a lot of what we've been discussing is players whose value in the industry is rising, players whose value in the industry is falling. So like Todd Gurley is a guy who's falling. To me, James Washington's a name who's rising. What players out there do you feel we're too high on? And what players out there do you feel like we're not pumping up enough?
Well, you know, I'm very format specific. So the fact that Aaron Rodgers, everybody seems to be re-elevating him to this, you know, almost godlike status again, I think everybody should pump the brakes a little bit with that. Last year was, you know, a single quarterback league, there's still plenty of QBs out there. So I don't love how all of a sudden the Aaron Rodgers is going to be QB1 overall again narrative seems to be pumping through the Twitter universe. I'm not a big fan of that because you look at a guy like Matt Ryan who had back-to-back, or two out of the last 3 years, was almost 5,000 yards. So I think that there's plenty of ways in a single quarterback league to deal with that. I'll tell you what, I love the Mike Williams trade right now. I'm on that one. So if the hype goes a little bit higher on that, I'm okay with it. Same with Calvin Ridley. To me, those guys are going at a nice value. But in terms of guys that are kind of rising up right now, I think that you're looking at that grouping of the Aaron Jones type running back. You're looking at some of those guys where people are trying to say, if you miss out on that first one, Kerryon Johnson's another one too. But Kerryon, for me a little bit, still worries me. Now, I mean, as a Patriots fan, I can tell you, you know, I think that Patricia's really going to try to be physical again. I think he wanted to last year with LeGarrette Blount. I don't think he had enough left in the tank to do it. And that's why they brought in C.J. Anderson. I'm not saying C.J. is going to destroy Kerryon's value, but this notion that all of a sudden Kerryon's just going to run away with everything, especially an offense that I think is still a work in progress, is still not 100% healthy and still has a new coordinator coming in, I think there's a lot to get right there. So for me, Kerryon's one of these guys that's rising a little high right now, a little too high for me.
Yeah, C.J. is a friend of mine, and they like him and what he's going to bring to that backfield. So as much as I do like K.J., I think people need to realize that there is a ceiling there.
Yeah, I'm with all you guys on Kerryon Johnson. I mean, the Lions have been one of the slowest paced and frankly, I mean, they just have some of the lowest play volume year over year, and I don't think we can really expect that to change too much with Daryl Bevel coming in. So I'm pretty much fully fading Kerryon Johnson this
year. Is that right? Yeah, I've got him like in the RB2 flex area, not too high. I've seen him ranked in the top 14 backs.
He goes in that range in the third and fourth round, like around AJ Green, Julian Edelman.
Yeah, at that point, I won't get him.
Mark Cooper. I want all those receivers.
I won't take him there.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mind with you guys. I just feel like there's a lot more value there and a lot less risk. And I think Bevel's going to do a good job there. And I think that if they can figure out a way to quickly get Hockenson up to speed and utilize him, I think he could possibly break that trend of the rookie tight end not contributing. I think he has that opportunity this year. I know we kind of get stuck in our ways until something happens, right? You say, well, this can never happen until you have rookie quarterbacks can never happen. And then you have the year where Wilson and Luck and all those guys contribute and it changes our concept. And now you see it as a regular thing. And it's always been, well, rookie tight ends can't make it anything happen. And well, maybe Fant and Hockenson and those guys can be those guys to make that work.
Speaking of rookies, and you mentioned the Patriots, I was a guy who in the draft was really big on N'Keal Harry and, you know, wasn't sure where he'd land. Obviously he goes to New England now. And I find myself right now sort of torn on him. I love his ability. I love what he can do. I worry that, you know, even though Father Time has yet to catch up to Tom Brady, it's going to happen. Your thoughts on what he means in this Patriots offense and what his potential can be?
First of all, how dare you say Father Time is going to catch up to Tom Brady? How dare you, Marcus?
Look, Frank Gore is the only one that's going to outlive us all, right? That's it. It's just Frank Gore.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's almost like they have a bet with the devil, those two. Like, I don't know what the pact is or what's going on, but look, I think the world of N'Keal Harry, and I think that he is, I do agree with the notion he was the most complete wide receiver. And I love that right away he seemed to be embraced, you know, him and Edelman are out there at Brady's house and getting to know each other and getting familiar with things. And I think that's kind of the difference maker. I mean, you're seeing him go in that same range as guys like DeSean Jackson, who honestly, I would take the shot on Harry more personally. If it's best ball, maybe DeSean Jackson, maybe the cumulative, but I think on a weekly basis, Harry has an opportunity here to really be a better floor player, whereas DeSean might be the better ceiling player. But week to week, I don't trust the Eagles offense at all. Very difficult. Then you get guys like DeSean Hamilton in that same range. So even somebody like Funchess, to me, if the Patriots reach for an offensive player, which is something they rarely do, but they have done in the last 2 years, they've shown you they reach for him because they have a plan for them and they're going to utilize them. So for me, I think if you believed in what they did yet last year with Sony Michel and how that went, which was pretty darn well considering where they ended up, I think Harry will be a good part of that offense. And I think where he's going right now is completely appropriate. That being said, I think you and I will all agree, all three of us, that when you get to the preseason and he has one big game, that ADP is probably going to go from the 114 range probably to the under 100 range.
Yeah, you're probably right. Mm-hmm. Joe, I have been a fan of the Fantasy Black Book. I know you. The latest edition for 2019 is out, but for those who are not in the know, explain what it is and where they can find it.
Well, you can find it over on Amazon for paperback and Kindle, and you get on iTunes as well. It's a 14-time bestseller on Amazon and fantasy sports between baseball and football in the last 9 years. And last year was actually the number one football book on Amazon in the last August, ahead of my guy, Tom Brady. I felt like a real conflict of interest last August to be ahead of Tom Brady in anything, but I dealt with it. I was able to get past it. I cried myself to sleep with a little bowl of avocado ice cream in honor of him. But it's out there on Amazon again. I think we're number three in football books behind Joe Namath and Tony Dungy's book right now. And it gives something to people very different and unique. And I think that's the hardest thing in fantasy now, is to how do you separate from the pack? And the concept of relative position value does that. It's a really easy, applicable, understandable concept. It allows you to not just manage your draft, but manage your entire season. And I've got a great group of people working with me on it, and I'm very proud of it. And, just goes to show you, you can really build a brand. And if you have something unique, people will latch onto it and make it a success. And I'm very grateful for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, go pick it up if you haven't already. Go check it out. Become a smarter fantasy player. Before I let you go, Joe, I know you also do some Major League Baseball fantasy. And so, one, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. We should all sit around and celebrate that.
I'm also a Mets fan, which is also
You got so many titles with the Patriots, it kind of offsets that the Mets have sucked for so long.
That's exactly what happens. Because, every September, I remember what it is to feel good about myself again.
There you go.
And then it goes through the holidays, I have a nice holiday season, and then spring training goes, optimistic, and then it all goes in the tank.
Well, I should ask before we let you go, for those playing fantasy baseball, because I know there's some crossover with folks who listen to this podcast, who is a name folks should be paying attention to for after the All-Star break?
Hira just got called back up from Milwaukee, so I think he's going to have a good second half. That's going to be a nice player. I think you might even see a player like a Dustin May, get an opportunity with the Dodgers there in the second half. He's had a brilliant run there in AA. He just got moved up to AAA. So depending on what they do with the pitchers, starting pitcher-wise, if they don't acquire anybody. But really what you're going to be looking for now is that movement. I think guys like Greinke and Bumgarner get moved. That could mean a guy like Kyle Tucker gets freed up too. And that's a guy right now, since Jordan Alvarez over in Houston has played so well to start, he becomes expendable to add that big time pitcher. So look for Kyle Tucker also to probably be in a major league uniform in the second half of the season and make a contribution in the outfield as well.
I know it's not a fantasy question, but can Dustin May help build this bridge from the starters to Kenley Jansen? That's all, as a Dodger fan, that's all I want to know.
That's what you need. I mean, that's what you're hoping for. I mean, it's possible. It all depends on the usage. The problem with them is, Ryu's been brilliant. Kershaw's been solid this year. I think when you're looking at that Dodger team, it's always, what are you going to get out of the back end guys? And, Rich Hill's a 5 2/3 guy for the last few years. I think, that one more difference maker guy, he could have a run. And if you pair him with Walker Buehler and Kershaw at the top, if they really have a nice run there to finish, if he's got enough innings left in the tank, they're going to be right in it, man. Dodgers have been so good this year.
Yeah. Trust me. I'm still last year the Red Sox were just a better team. The one against the Astros still smarts. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing you in the World Series.
I don't know, Marcus.
Think back to 1986, Joe.
I want to know who the heck the Yankees are getting, because our starting rotation's got some question marks. But, if we keep hitting five homers a game, maybe it won't matter.
I'll tell you why. That's part of it. But I think what they were banking on was Severino being that guy. Severino was going to be the guy who basically came back at the All-Star break, which would have allowed them to keep the prospects like Clint Frazier and would allow them to stay in there. But I think what happens is now with that setback for him, now you're going to see them. I think they're going to have to figure out a way to make a move. It wouldn't shock me if they even went to the Mets and tried to peel away a guy like Zach Wheeler. I don't think they're going to get a Syndergaard from him. That would be a PR nightmare for the Mets, but a guy like Zach Wheeler, I wouldn't be shocked if they could peel him away.
Hey, there you go. Hey, Joe, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime. Thanks a lot.
See you, pal. Sure.
Thanks again to Joe Pisapia for stopping by the program. Again, be sure to check out the Fantasy Black Book. He said you can get it on Amazon, or just check him out on Twitter as well. You can get some links to it there. Last week, we introduced the fantasy draft of things. We did a draft of movie franchises. And Eddie, I, I got the feeling, just looking last week, I think Fabs kind of won the polling.
So that's your pick for the number one?
I think Fabs won the polling last
week. Any other guesses between the rest of the crew?
No, I feel like you were getting shortchanged, Eddie. Like, I liked your draft, and I don't think the people appreciated your draft as much.
Yeah, they didn't. I think might have been an older crowd. Like, Harry Potter doesn't really stay
Oh,
with
are
them.
You saying that I'm old?
No, I think because like Harry Potter is for people who my age or younger.
I'm just kidding.
And then, yeah, the No Snake hurt me in the four slot there. But anyway, Fabs was the winner at 37%. But he had someone very, very close. Graham, 33%. So yeah. Right behind him.
Ooh,
wow. It was Star Wars, probably.
Yeah. Marcus, respectable, 22%. And I was pretty poor with only an 8%.
Wow.
But yeah, that was
that's your number one in our hearts.
No,
like,
thank you.
I feel like you got jobbed there. But I know I heard from a lot of folks on Twitter who were upset at some of the things that we left out.
Like, so Godfather, and I'm like, yeah, of course I'd pick if it was like a two movie. The third
Godfather 3 was awful. You know,
someone was upset that we didn't pick Mad Max, and I'm like, well, they
I saw that too.
They went like 30 years between movies.
Yeah, that's
You know, but so we appreciate all you guys chiming in, all that sort of things. So though, I thought with 4th of July coming up this week, and a happy 4th of July to all of you out there. A lot of folks will be, whatever you call it, grilling, barbecuing, having a cookout. I know depending on where you live in the country, it is called different things. So I figured, okay, what are the best things to eat at a cookout, right? And so we will do a 3-round draft. Just because we didn't do a snake last week, we'll stay no snake this week as well. And because, Eddie, you went last, we will give you the first pick. And just a quick note for all of you out there. I figured all meats, whether it's hot dogs, burgers, ribs, what have you, those are all separate items, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
You can't just say, like, hey, grilling meat and then, like, just get everything in there. So right. They're all separate things. So, you know, that will open things up a little bit more. So, Eddie, I give the floor to you.
Okay, and just to clarify, too, so it's like you can't say, I want a beef burger and then I'll get a bison burger. Like, a burger is a burger. It's one category. Yeah,
burger is one category.
Gotcha. Uh-huh. Okay. First pick here. I don't want to give away. I feel like I want to lose this one if I don't take it now. My favorite item across the board may not be a popular pick for the number one overall, but I think it is the best item you could possibly get in a barbecue fashion. So I want to go with beef brisket, slow cooked beef brisket, first overall.
That is that's a pretty good call there, actually. All right. I'm kind of torn on where I go with this one, but I'm just gonna go with ribs. I think they're a classic cookout staple. I think especially when done well and they're smoked, and
yes,
you just kind of like smoke them overnight.
Smoked ribs overnight.
You know, in fact, shout out to
I would have been my 101
to our pal and colleague Chris Wessling, who I've been fortunate enough to be invited to some of his cookouts, and I will say that for as smart as he is when it comes to football, he may be as knowledgeable or more knowledgeable about smoking dead animals. The man is serious about his grilled meats. He is no joke. So, you know, shout out to Chris Wessling and his grilling skills. But yeah, I'm going ribs at 1.02. Fabs.
You guys left burgers for me at 3.
We
That's
did.
Like leaving Saquon Barkley at 3. Yeah, man, dude. Listen, all American, man. You're going to cook out. You're going to have those burgers. I don't care what they are. Beef, bison, turkey. Just not any of those veggie, whatever that stuff is. That's not a burger.
The impossible burger.
It's not a burger. It's impossible.
Beyond meat.
It's not. I want beef, okay? Turkey is acceptable. Bison is acceptable. But a little cheese on there, Graham, a little bacon. Oh, giddy up, man. Yeah. I'm in. Give me that burger.
I'm going to take hot dogs and brats here at 4, but I have a question.
Okay.
Do you put ketchup?
I do.
Hot dogs.
I do.
Okay, so
I absolutely do.
So Matthew, who is actually in the studio with us, loves ketchup on hot dogs, and I can't stand every time I have to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Here's the difference. He's a kid.
No shame.
He's a kid. He's allowed.
I will go to Dodger
You're
Stadium.
You're a grown adult.
I get my Dodger dogs with ketchup, mustard, and onions. Yep. Straight up. No shame. Not care. Don't care.
I can't do it, man. Like I'm all about mustard, relish, sauerkraut, ketchup is for burgers. Mustard is for hot dogs.
Nope, I'm fine.
I can't.
I am shameless about it. Don't care.
Yeah, I'm the weirdo who does not like ketchup or mustard, so I leave.
Really?
It.
So what do you put? Relish?
Plain? It could be plain, or it could be
plain hot
like
dog?
Chili dog. If you have like a cheese.
Well,
I mean, like Dodger State, like so Marcus bring up like Dodger dogs. Like they have some crazy toppings. If you go to, like the specialty, like mm-hmm. really really big ones, so they have a lot of good toppings there. I mean, plain hot dog to me is fine. So you picked hot dogs, Graham,
yep.
and that what falls under that umbrella? Is that just hot dogs and then other kind of encased meats are still fair game?
I think that's fair. I think we can split out hot dogs and other cased meats.
Okay.
We can separate those.
Okay, if that's the case, then I'll just go with sausage.
Yeah, I'm an Italian. I was thinking
all sausage brats.
Oh, just okay.
By the way, I was at Petco Park over the weekend. I mean, I love that stadium so much.
I was going to ask if you had a fish taco. Then I remembered you don't like seafood.
My girlfriend did. And we waited in line. It felt like longer than we watched the game to get in. And she said it was phenomenal. Have you gone there yet?
No, I haven't.
The food is phenomenal. They have a hot dog this big. The thing is gigantic. Matthew's like, oh, God, I want one of those. And I'm like, that's my boy.
Well,
and then he put ketchup on the damn thing.
I mean,
Padre
baseball hasn't been great in years. They got to
no,
some,
the food,
they gotta do something
Marcus,
to get people.
Oh, my gosh. Up. It's so good. So I'm sorry. Off topic, but so good. So good.
Oh, man. Okay. So now sausage is off the board, which means we've gone through a lot of the meats here. You know what? I'm going to keep this rolling, though. One of the things that I miss about my time living in the Central Valley of California, the folks up there are great with grilling tri-tip. And it was a thing that when I've come other places, like for a while, I don't know that people outside of California knew what tri-tip was because it's sort of a weird cut of the cow. But man, when I lived in Fresno, not only did they cook it regularly, they cooked it well. In fact, there was a place I used to go to that would make a great tri-tip breakfast burrito. That's going to be my second round pick.
Tri-tip. Okay, so I will tell you this. Back to Petco Park. Cardiff Crack, okay? It is the best tri-tip I have ever had. You have to go. Marcus, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Check it out. Cardiff Crack.
Like C-R-A-C-K?
Yes.
Okay.
It is unbelievably good. And they actually do sell it at Petco.
Huh. Interesting.
I never knew Petco was this like
so good, dude.
It's a
Marcus is right.
It's a gourmet paradise.
I mean, the baseball is actually not bad on the field this season, but in seasons past, you got to eat.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so you're up, Fabs.
I'm going barbecue chicken.
Chicken,
all right. Dude. I mean, I'm a
it's
big
a classic.
Fan. I'm a big.
It is. It is
I like the classics. I like the Yankees. I like the Cowboys. Okay, people can get on my case for all that stuff, and I'm going to hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and all that, and I'm going barbecue chicken. Love it.
I'm going to take us off the meats here. One of the things that immediately pops into my mind is like a refreshing summer barbecue snack is watermelon.
Oh, good yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watermelon. See, I was hoping that would fall to me in round three, but apparently it did not.
Nah.
All right. All right. So here we go. Round three. We're back to you, Eddie.
I want to go off meat as well because I figure my plate, you have the heavy brisket, you have the sausage, so you got your mix of beef and pork. And you probably want something on a side dish. I'm not sure if this is a regional thing for me. Growing up in the New York City area, a lot of Italian people, and this is very, very popular where I am when you're barbecuing. And I think across the country, the potato salad is probably more popular, but I'm going to go with a macaroni salad instead.
Ah, you stole it. That's what I was going with in the third round.
Well, that made me... I was nervous for a second because I thought you were going to take my pick, which was going to be potato salad. In the third round.
Man.
All right.
You just got me.
I think the mayonnaise and just I like it a little bit more than potato salad, so a little switch there. But yeah, I don't know how popular it is really like here. I don't know if I can really find
it. I mean, I see it. I've seen it at cooked, but I tend to lean more toward the potato salad than the macaroni salad.
Yeah, no, I'm a macaroni salad guy, but I'm Italian, so that's we like our macaroni.
All right. So now that you have been sniped,
I know you guys.
Where are you going?
Can I go back to meat? How about pulled pork?
That's a good one.
How about pulled pork?
That's a good call.
That's pretty good, right?
That's a good call.
Yeah, yep. And I'm not even a huge fan of pork either. Like pork chops, but you give me some pulled pork, I'm all in. I'm all in.
All right, Graham, finish us out.
I'm gonna hold it down. I mean, I don't think none of us You guys are. I know you guys aren't from the South, so I'm going to hold it down for the South here and say coleslaw. You got to have
good call. Yeah.
You got to have some coleslaw.
That's a good call.
And to spice it up, I mean, you got to have some vinegar in there.
Vinegary coleslaw?
A little bit. I'm definitely more of a vinegary.
Okay.
All right.
You have a well-balanced plate.
Are we going to hot dog, watermelon, coleslaw? Yeah, are we going to run a poll there?
Of course we are. I think you're going to win again. You got really good value at the third pick. The burgers, barbecue chicken, pulled pork in the third round
is a strong, that's a strong pick, man.
Yeah.
Man. But yeah, I figured that was a fun thing to do. And as always, out there, if there are some things we left out, some things that you guys love at your cookouts, feel free to hit us up.
Before we go, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but we have some competition. Okay, we have some competition in the fantasy football analytical world.
Who's that?
Orenthal? Oh, is that his name?
It depends how you
pronounce. Simpson is now giving fantasy football advice on Twitter. Did you see that?
I've noticed this.
So I'm thinking, like, I don't want to put this out on social media. Marcus and I talked about this earlier because the replies that we would get would be really bad. But I'm thinking, like, O.J. Simpson plays fantasy football. What would be some great O.J. Simpson fantasy football team names? I came up with a few. So the easy one is the Killers, right? that's the easy one. Slash and Dash. How about that one? Is that a good O.J. Simpson fantasy football team name?
Juice Squeeze.
No. All right. Norberg's Knives.
Oh wow, Norberg. You got
Norberg's Knives. You got right. Okay. And the last one. Stop O.J. It hurts, as in hurts.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, no.
They're like the commercial back in the day. Come on, stop OJ, it hurts. Come on, dude, that's perfect.
I forgot about the hurts commercials.
Eddie.
Those are right to the point.
Well done.
On that note,
well done.
Oh, that was, but I mean, like,
well done.
Unbelievable where a dude who murdered two people is now out playing golf, giving fantasy football advice.
I think that's just like the Costanza scenario where if like you tweet him and ask him, whatever he says, just like do the opposite.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. So Howard Stern talked about that. They have the Howard Stern League and they called Michael Rappaport, who's also in the league. And if you know Michael Rappaport, he's a little bit out there. And they joked about O.J. Simpson joining their fantasy football league. And if you haven't seen that on or listened to that on Stern, it's pretty funny, his reply to that. But it was hilarious because, like, OJ's a running back, obviously, and he's like Patrick Mahomes would be my first round pick,
right?
And that right there was the last piece of advice,
the first and last
that I will take from OJ Simpson when it comes to fantasy football.
I'm just kind of surprised that a running back would say go quarterback number one overall. I figured he would have stuck with the running backs.
Uneducated, my friend. Uneducated.
You know, and just done that. But, yeah, so.
Do you think he'll get a podcast?
Sure. I'm sure somebody will. Someone will.
Come on.
Someone. Because people will listen to it for the curiosity factor. The fact that he got on Twitter and got a huge following immediately, somebody will take a chance on.
Yeah.
It'll be a small outlet looking for some attention, looking for some pub, some kind of way.
If he did get his own podcast, I'm sure the most popular segment would be weekly fantasy cuts. No?
Okay. On that.
Come on, Graham.
On that note. a reminder that we will be off next week. We'll be back with you in a couple weeks, Wednesday the 17th. Just a heads up, we are tentatively scheduled to have a special guest. I'll leave it at that until we have some more confirmation.
It's not OJ, is it?
It is not. Oh, I can tell you that that's
because
not,
if that was happening, I'm out.
I can tell you for sure that that is not the case, but potentially a special guest coming up when we return in a couple of weeks. So enjoy the holiday. That's it. We're done. As always, we appreciate you listening. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, you might think you're indecisive, but are you really sure? We'll see you in 2 weeks. Yeah.